if we go too late, we'll, whoops.
Okay, I got
you. You were quick on that, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm calling the meeting to order. I'm sorry about, if it gets too loud out here, let me know, because I am outside. I'll just go back inside and find a room to hide in. Calling the meeting to order at 6:04. Legislator Litz, would you please lead us in the Pledge to Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, legislator, Clerk Tom Shaw, would you mind doing the roll call, please?
Sure. Chair Petit?
Here.
Deputy Chair Fabiano?
Here.
Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Nolan?
Here.
And Legislator Stewart? Okay, four present, one absent.
Thank you. So with that, we have Resolution 289, which is amending the capital plan for the parks, and Resolution 298. With the permission of the committee, I'd like to move those towards the end. Legislator Erner would like to speak on 298, and Legislator Stewart is not here to speak on 289. Unless all of our questions have been answered, I mean, I'm okay with 289 myself, but...
Hey, Legislator Petit, excuse me. Could you approve the minutes?
Oh, that is on there. Okay, so I jumped the gun. All right, so approval of the July 11th, 2022 minutes. Do I hear a motion?
I'll move it.
Move it. Second? Any comments, amendments, revisions? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that has been passed. So what is the will of the committee with 289? Do you want to move forward, or would you like to wait for Legislator Stewart?
Since he might come into the meeting and might like to be here for the vote, why don't we hold it until we see if he's coming?
Perfect. Okay. All right. So I am going to move on to resolution number 401, amending capital project number 598, ARPA Community Wellness Hub Crisis Stabilization Center renovation in the city of Kingston. Motion for to open it for discussion?
I'll move it.
Nolan, second?
I'll second it.
Legislator Fabiano? Do we have any questions? We do have Deputy Kelly here. No? Okay. So I'll call the vote then on 401. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. To follow up with that, we have resolution number 402, approving the execution of a contract for $158,850 entered into by the county with Pomarico Design Studio Architecture. I hear a motion to open it for discussion.
Still moved.
Legislator Nolan, second?
I'll second it.
Legislator Fabiano, do we have any questions on this? And of course, this is the engineers for the Crisis Center. Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 406. Confirming the appointment of a member to the Ulster County Electrical Licensing Board. Motion to open it up for discussion.
So moved.
Legislator Nolan, seconded by Legislator Litz. Any questions on the individual or on the resolution itself? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 407, amending the 2022-2027 Capital Improvement Program, establishing Capital Project 645, renovation of 21 Elizabeth Street, Elizabeth Manor Emergency Housing. Motion to open it up for discussion.
So moved.
Legislator Nolan, second.
I'll second it.
Legislator Fabiano. Any questions on this? My only comment is we do have to put very green elements into this. We just had three people moving to Port Ewan from California because California's on fire. We have droughts that we are definitely in a climate emergency, and declaring it is not really going to help the issue. So as long as every engineer understands that, you know, our capital projects have to have a green element, whether it's heat pumps or solar or super insulation, but, you know, just something so that we don't keep contributing ourselves to the problem. I'm starting to sound like Legislator Green, but give me a little more time. So other than that, are there any other comments? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, any opposed? And it looks like we have an abstention. Legislator Litz. Okay, thank you.
On the basis of employment?
Excuse me?
On the basis of employment?
Yes.
Oh, here comes Legislator Stewart.
Okay. We'll move on and we'll do the other Elizabeth Manor, and then we can go back to Legislator Stewart's.
I'm not sure he's here. It might just be by phone.
Oh, that's possible. Okay, resolution number 409, approving the execution of a contract for $180,000 entered into by the county with Labella Associates DPC. Motion to open for discussion.
So moved.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Legislator Fabiano, seconded by Legislator Nolan. Do we have any questions or comments on this resolution?
I just want to let folks know I'm here. My apologies for being late.
Hello, sir. That's okay. We held your resolution for you.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Hearing no further discussion on resolution 409, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Legislator Litz. Thank you.
Employment.
Okay. So, Nettie, please keep remind me of where we just left off, because we are going to move back.
We finished with 409.
We finished 409. So we're going to go back to resolution 289, okay. Amending the 2022-23 capital improvement program, establishing and funding capital project number 635, ARPA Parks Program. Do I hear a motion to open it for discussion?
I'll move it.
Legislator Fabiano, seconded by Legislator Nolan. Okay, Legislator Stewart, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to let folks know that since the last time I was here to discuss this resolution, I made a lot of changes to the proposal, a lot based on the comments that I heard here. This has gone through many reiterations. If you recall, it initially started out as an ask for $1 million for a park project in town of Marbletown that would serve as a trail nexus for other parks. Then it was changed to a $5 million project for $5 million project for parks around the county. Then that was lowered to $2 million for 10 projects, and that was changed to $2 million for 20 projects at $100,000 each, and that's where we are now. So a lot of changes were made to make this resolution apply, you know, to actually the entire county at this point. All the municipalities will be able to, you know, to make a request, and a language was added to allow in-kind services to be included as part of the municipality's input into the project. And now the wording states that up to 25% of the municipality's 50% input into the project can now be of in-kind services. And Chair Bartels had asked me to bring this resolution before the meeting of the town supervisors to get their input on it and see if, you know, there was interest in the project. And when I made that presentation in front of the supervisors' breakfast, I received overwhelming support from the supervisors that were there that day. Something, I believe it was 9 of the supervisors present all spoke out in favor of the project. One thing that was brought up was that that this project coming through ARPA was definitely needed because other funding sources are unwieldy and take forever. And they said that this is something that they could actually, you know, put to work really quickly so that this money would, you know, be available to up to 20 projects around the county. And the idea was that the supervisors, like I said, would be able to make immediate use of this project. And so they were very enthusiastic.
Legislator Litz does have a question for you.
Oh, okay, great. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes.
I'm not able to bring it up on my screen, but in the resolution, there was a statement in there about county-owned in-kind equipment. Can you explain that to me?
County-owned in-kind equipment?
Yeah, it's one of the bolded changes.
It's the next to the last whereas. And I basically read it to say that the county could count in-kind labor and use of equipment in the same way that the municipalities could for making up their portion of the total project budget.
Yes, thank you. That does answer the question. And this was the language that was provided to me from the legislative clerk. And this is kind of standard boilerplate language when it deals with in-kind services.
I agree, but this, I believe this resolution affords this money for projects that the town would request. Is that correct?
Right. The town will have to make an application.
So will the town then assume that the county is going to loan them equipment to do the work on their project?
Deputy Kelly has his hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Petit. I certainly hear what Legislator Litz is saying. To me, I would say that you need to swap out county-owned equipment with town-owned, municipal-owned equipment, because we're not going to be using our highway or other equipment as a match for a grant that they're applying to from us. So I would just, it's a ministerial area. I would swap out that part of it. And then it's clear. I think that's what you're going with.
I mean, we've done project when I was in New Paltz, and we had the county come out and help because they had a piece of equipment, but.
We all do share resources from time to time, but I would say since they're applying for our ARPA funds, it would be inappropriate for us to use our labor as their match.
Okay.
That's all. I think it's just a cleanup there.
Okay, so we just need to be sure that it says that it's town-owned equipment as opposed to county-owned equipment.
Yep, and then we would, in conjunction with the Commissioner of Finance, we're going to set a table to basically assign what the value is of the different pieces of labor or equipment as they do in other grants. It's pretty standard, Dennis said.
Do we even have to mention town-owned equipment? The town... can do in-kind services. That could be anything. I don't think we even have to mention equipment. It's just the towns can up to a certain percentage use in-kind services.
Well, I think what I read that the next whereas basically says that we can accept the matching funds through in-kind services. The prior whereas, what I think that was, now that Deputy Kelly has explained what it's trying to say, it seems like we're saying that the value of that in-kind labor, or it should say town or municipal resources, that that will be assigned by and recorded by the Ulster County Commissioner of Finance. It's not just whatever the town or municipality would say that's worth. So I think this whereas provides a mechanism for assigning the value to what the municipality offers as the match. In, I think it should say, municipally owned equipment, labor, or other municipal resources as approved by the, we're giving that to the Ulster County Executive's Office in consultation here with the Commissioner of Finance. That would make sense to me as a way to go.
So is this something that I could have Vicki just clean up, or, I mean, we don't have to like wait a month and vote on this again or anything like that, do we, for a minor change in wording?
No.
Vote is amended, correct?
Yeah, and as Deputy Director Kelly said, this is ministerial. It appears to be just a inadvertent change in wording.
Yeah. Okay, so I will get that language cleaned up with Vicki.
Thank you for that catch, Legislator Litz.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out, Herb.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Legislator Fabiano.
Yes, I've been following this resolution now for a couple months, and I was kind of on the fence about it, because as you know, the way I feel that I think we have enough walking trails in the county, but the parks for the children throughout the county, every township should be able to have a park where the children can go play. I know we have many in the town of Saugerties on Cantine Field, and it's just awesome on weekends watching all those children up there by the hundreds enjoying themselves up there. And secondly, I just want to compliment Legislator Stewart for he's been working on this very, very hard. He's done a lot of work on this. And I will be supporting this resolution tonight.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. That's appreciated, Legislator Fabiano. And I also one of the other changes I did make is that I did remove all references to trails from the language of this bill based on your request. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Legislator. Legislator Nolan.
But they still will, those parks will still serve as hubs for bringing people in and sending them out on those trails. But we just won't tell anyone.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, let's call the vote. All in favor of this resolution?
As amended.
Aye.
As amended. Any noes, any abstentions? Okay, that was passed unanimously. How does that feel, Legislator Stewart?
That feels great. Thank you all so much. I appreciate well, I appreciate your patience, and I appreciate everyone's input into this process, so thank you.
Okay, with that, let's because we have Legislator Erner is here. Let's go back to Resolution 298, establishing a policy to eliminate mandatory fares for Ulster County area transit. Do I hear a motion to open for discussion?
So moved.
Legislator Stewart.
I'll second it.
Legislator Fabiano. Questions, or can we open this up to Legislator Erner and to Deputy Kelly, who have been working as hard as Legislator Stewart did on his resolution? And neither of you unmuted. Who's going to go first? No? Should we just vote on it? Okay. Legislator Erner.
Oh, well, yeah, thanks for taking this up again, Public Works, et cetera, committee. I appreciate it. And I think that people who depend on the bus will appreciate hearing where we've gotten to with the executive. So Deputy Executive Kelly, would you like care to share?
Sure. Thank you, Legislator and our Chair Petit. So we've gone back and we've looked at the past few years of fares with a few goals. First is obviously we think that increasing ridership has multiple benefits, including on traffic for the environment, but also in terms of equity, getting people around who can't otherwise afford other modes of transportation. So that kind of sticks out. From a more technical standpoint, in terms of funding, our other goal is to continue to ensure that we claim for every dollar that is available to us through New York State operating assistance, as well as federal transit. So we are setting up the program, or we intend to set up the program, where we would cover the fares by basically the internal processes to bill the county for the individual riders that come onto the bus. So we're going to, we based our estimates on 2019 and kind of where we've started to get to today. I do want to strongly caution that we have not returned to a sense of normalcy since 2019 in terms of ridership numbers. So we are basing it off of that last full so-called normal year. We're still right now kind of, it's not as bad, but we are struggling right now in terms of staffing routes and drivers. So there's still some challenges, but we want to set this up in a way that we're set up for success. It'll expand the system, expand access to the system. So we are looking at right now, and I think that we may have to still take this to caucus, but we're looking at about a $350,000 annual cost, which would be charged back to the county government. So that's based on several estimates that we kind of poured through, and that will ensure that to the formula, the state operating assistance, that we would be able to maintain the numbers that we have in the past, which is about $1 million+ annually. The other part that we're looking at is $75,000 for advertising. So if we're going to do a free fare system, we need to let people know, and it needs to scream out loud on every bus, and it needs to be distributed widely. It shouldn't be a mystery that we've got a free transit system. So doing proper signage, doing proper bus wraps, all of those things have to be incorporated to make this successful. The other part, and this comes out of a lot of the discussions we've had with both legislators Erner, Yucatel, Petit, as well as a lot of the Kingston Transit advocates, and just really, I would say for Lauren and I working over the last about 8 months now for me. I don't, Lauren, you're still a little shy. But we've been absorbing feedback from the public. And a big part of that feedback is our routing is not, it's not rational and it's not efficient in a lot of ways. It was built up over time and doesn't really reflect an efficient way of getting people to and from where they need to go. And that's a major hindrance to a successful transit system. So it's not just about the free fares. It's about, we want to take at least $25,000 and invest that in robust, modern transit scheduling software that would allow us to be a lot more dynamic. This is actually a big sea change. Right now, we only have scheduling software for our paratransit. So this is a big shift for the organization that will allow us to grow and be more responsive to what the data tells us, because that is an important part of building this transit system out.
You have three hands up.
Yeah, I know.
Legislator Litz, Nolan, and Stewart.
Yep. So I just want to close with the one part is just, we can't just offer a free system and think that everything's going to be okay. We have to also look at how we're scheduling all of the fixed routes throughout the county so we can attract more people in that way too. So with that, I'm happy to take questions too.
Legislator Litz.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Kelly, you've answered some of my questions. I mean, right now, basically the federal government and the state government is what is funding the operation of our UCAT system. We collect about a third of what our expenses are. So we're already operating at a deficit. I'm not sure what will happen with the federal government or the state, but if that funding decreases, I'm afraid that our transit system is going to go belly up. I would much rather see a program where people that need the assistance get some sort of a card or something and get half fare or a quarter fare or maybe even free. I don't know. But I'd hate to see the whole system go free, because in order to reinstitute a fare would require a resolution before the legislature and all those good things. And you'll have an overwhelming group of people that are used to getting a free fare. And then if we have to go back to a fare system, I just don't see that working. We're already operating at a deficit. You want to increase that deficit from 65% deficit to 100% deficit. We want to increase the amount of electric buses to the system, which is three times the value of a regular bus. We want to increase the routes. When you're operating at a deficit, not sure of your incoming funding for the future, to make a big investment and increase your routes and your equipment and the number of vehicles you need and three times the cost of the number of vehicles, I think we're looking at the possibility for failure in the future. I would much rather see a program whereby much like some of the food programs, people that need assistance get SNAP cards or whatever they are. We could do something similar to that for the transit system, because if we gave everybody who walked in a store free food, I don't think the store would stay open very long, and I don't think our transit system would be able to last if the state or the federal government started reducing the amount of funding we get. So I'm as this stands, I mean, I'm a no on the resolution because I don't think it's well thought out enough for what will happen in the future, because, you know, just like ARPA funds and everything else, you know, we get it. When it goes away, we're going to feel it. So I think we should continue with a fair system and maybe give a break to people who need the break. But to eliminate it all together, I think, is something we shouldn't do. Thank you.
Deputy Kelly.
Thank you. So, Legislator Litz, I have to say that we've only seen massive increases from both the federal and state government towards public transit, especially rural and urban types of transit systems. So support has only continued to increase, and it hasn't been threatened to be kind of taken away. Even in terms of capital, you're talking about a formula which makes us responsible for the smallest piece of the state and federal kind of pie there. So I, you know, as a budget person, I certainly hear you out, you know, loud and clear in terms of out year risks. And that is something that I've talked about with Legislator Erner and others, where that's why we're looking to pilot something and be very explicit about taking a 2 year period to collect data, see where it comes, see what the users are, see what type of service expansion we may enter into, and the impact on the county budget. I would say at a time where we have record fund balance, I think a program such as this for $350,000 on an annual basis to provide free transit system on a limited time kind of basis is a good use of that fund balance. I think attracting more people to the transit system right now is definitely a good use of that kind of extra fund balance. So the out year risks are always going to exist in any program that's not mandated by a state or federal government, whereas it's also not funded by them fully. But there are other optional programs that the county enters into, you know, and I guess, yeah, I do think that this would be a good use of that fund. I think there's little risk of the state and feds pulling out based on the current trend lines. Yeah, electric buses are much more expensive, and Lauren and I have a meeting on that, I think, later this week, because they're very expensive, but we are just trying to expand the system, get more people on it, not drive around empty buses. So thank you.
Would you consider, like, if someone who just who is already on, like, SNAP or something like that just shows their card to the driver and he goes free? And maybe helping the people that need the help the most?
Don't they already do that?
I think we do, and I think part of what we're trying to do here is not be bureaucrats and to really look at the overall price here at $350,000 annually. Our budget's $355-ish right now. To set up all the different criteria on what's, I'll just say, is a very complicated and convoluted fare schedule right now, I don't think helps it. It would make it so limited that I don't know that we're going to really expand the audience, and that's what we're trying to do. It is about helping. It is about equity, but it's also trying to promote a system that I think is underutilized.
Legislator Nolan, and then Legislator Stewart.
Thank you, Chair Petit. Yeah, I appreciate this discussion, and Deputy Executive Kelly has, you know, hit the nail on the head, I think, in terms of our fund balance. But also, you know, the language in this resolution, Ulster County is paying about 25% of the funds for UCAT. And so this change would basically mean that we're providing, you know, higher percentage than that. But 25% is pretty low. And that the total revenue generated by the fares is modest. So what we have with state and federal funding is a lot of financial support for vehicular transportation. And what we have with this is an alternative. So it is a question of equity for me. And people who have to show credentials and prove that they are somehow don't have $1.50, it's not fun for the people that have to do that. If it were essential to the functioning of the system, then I would feel differently, and I've pushed very hard, and I still want to push the deputy executive and the director of UCAT and planning. As long as this does not hurt our federal and state funding, I think it's absolutely what we should do. It's like having a library. Yeah, everybody can go buy a book, and people do because it's nice to own your own book, but we want to have people have access to be able to read and educate themselves. And I think this is the equivalent. And with the
issue, I have a library card.
Which is free, yes. So it, with the assurances from all the leadership on this, that this would not hurt our funding for, you know, from the state and the federal government, I would be happy to support this and add it as a co-sponsor.
Thank you, Legislator Nolan. And Legislator Stewart.
I was just going to want to say that I am pretty much in agreement with the points that Legislator Nolan just raised. And I think the analogy of comparing it to a library card was very apt. I also wanted to say that if we're looking at, and this is something that I have spoken with a few people in this room or on this Zoom meeting with already, but I think if we're looking to really increase ridership, that we also need to really look at the situation of bus shelters. I had a conversation earlier today with a transportation advocate from Kingston about this matter, and I told her that, you know, we've already started some preliminary discussions about that. But I think it's, you know, super important that if we're trying to get people to use our public transportation system, that we provide them with shelter. I've seen people waiting for a bus, standing in rain and snow on 209, just on the sitting on the side of the road, sitting on a guardrail across from a shopping center in Stone Ridge. And, you know, there's nothing attractive about standing in rain or snow or 100 degree sun, waiting for a bus. And so I think that if we're, you know, trying to increase ridership, that is something we really need to look at. I also think it would be important for the county to really take a lead on this, because it's my understanding that up until now, bus shelters have kind of been the prerogative of the various municipalities. And I think it's important to have kind of like a standardized way in which we deal with this. I mean, I think the bus shelters should look the same in Kingston as they do in Saugerties, as they do in Ellenville, as they do in Marbletown. And I think it's also very important, that in these bus shelters, they have things like, bus schedules and that we provide information and that all of this be standardized. I think that having it be standardized is key. And so I'm hoping that this is something that we can look at, and I would certainly welcome taking part in further conversations on this matter, and would be happy to, work with Christopher Kelly or Mr. Johnson or whoever else would be interested in pursuing this. So thank you.
Thank you, Legislator Stewart. Deputy Kelly and then Legislator Erner.
Thank you, Chair Petit. Thank you, Legislator Stewart. So I can just say that we're currently working on the 2023 executive budget, and the discussions around bus shelters it's a big county, and we're trying to unwind and do some research internally to see who is responsible ultimately. There's a lot of different moving pieces here, but we are trying to create a capital project within the 2023 program where we could start to invest in these. But in the meantime, we are just kind of trying to figure out all of those other pieces. The other part of it is, if we get to better scheduling, route optimization, we're going to have to look at all of those individual stops too, and the shelters. So we are definitely looking at it, and we thank you guys for bringing it up. And we just think, from my perspective, I think the 23 capital program is the appropriate place to really engage in that part of the discussion, because that'll be a little longer term.
Right. Well, and if we want to put together like a task force on this project, I would certainly be willing to participate in that. So.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. Thank you for this discussion. Thank you, Legislator Nolan, for offering to co-sponsor as well. I want to point out that in my experience, and we don't have any way of knowing the fact of the matter about this, but I believe that the majority, if not almost everybody currently riding the bus in our county, is a working class person, working poor, or just straight up poor people. Now, we do have a part of this resolution which keeps the fare boxes on the bus for voluntary contributions. And what I would hope is that as we increase the ridership and expand it, perhaps to those of greater wealth, or even if not, that people will pay what they can, and that alleviates some of the burden on the public. But even if we were to completely subsidize this, which is what this resolution does by default, the savings we would have by even if one more rider rode the bus instead of taking their car, on road maintenance, on that person's car repairs, and on the healthcare costs of having that many more vehicles on the road, if you have that instead of transit, this is savings both to private people as well as the public, in my view, that accumulate as you do this, even if you get a few more riders. And then finally, I just want to say that when we had the discussion over the gas tax, we committed to costing the county an estimated $3 million for just this year, and this would only cost about 1/8 or 1/9 of that per year.
Legislator Erner, is there any more discussion on this resolution? Again, I'd like to thank Legislator Erner and Deputy Kelly for working so hard on this resolution. Initially, when it was brought up that we should just waive the rider's fee, you know, we would have lost federal funding had that happened. But this particular resolution ensures that we will still continue to get that portion of federal and state. It doesn't compromise that. And, you know, I mean, the fares as they are now, there's just between 1 and 5 different rates that are set, which makes it confusing. And my worries about giving it to anyone who is income eligible, it may also prohibit people who are, I think they call it, not incidentally, but I mean, it's at the poverty level where if you need to get your car fixed, I mean, you just don't have any expendable income. And, you know, they could be $10 over the eligibility limit or $40 over. So they wouldn't get the assistance either. And many of the users of our public transit are, you know, working families, working people. So, again, thank you. And with that, I will call the vote. All in favor of this resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
We have 3 in favor. We have Petit, Stewart, and Nolan. Opposed? Legislator Litz and Legislator Fabiano, and no abstentions. Thank you. Okay, so we will now move to Resolution 414. So let me double check, make sure I didn't skip anything. Okay. Authorizing a right to cross the right-of-way owned by Ulster County of the Ulster County-Delaware Railroad Corridor near Mile Point 4.8, City of Kingston, to the Hudson Valley Housing Fund Company, Inc. Do I hear a motion for discussion? Legislator Nolan. Second? Do I have a second?
Oh, second.
Okay, Legislator Stewart, thank you. Any comments on this? Questions? Legislator Nolan?
Thank you, Chair Petit. I would just say that this resolution has generated a lot of comments in other committees and concern among legislators, and I share many of those concerns in terms of being worried about the soundness of this proposal. But the request to have a right-of-way to this site across this corridor seems to me to be the least objectionable part of this proposed project. And I am concerned that if we put up roadblocks here, that we will, one, encourage the project to use a less safe or less desirable means of ingress and egress. And I also think there's potential for litigation about this, where I'm not sure that we're in a strong position as a county. So on purely pragmatic grounds, I think that we should go ahead and grant this easement, and that requires us to have a seeker finding, and that's, you know, problematic here because we wouldn't like to just pass this project as a whole with the level of review that it's had. We would have, I would have appreciated a higher degree of review from the City of Kingston. Lacking that, however, I don't want to try to use this little easement as a way to express discontent with their decision. I think that should be expressed in other ways. So I just wanted to go on the record here because I think Public Works is the right place for this discussion with those considerations, and the reason that I would support the granting of this easement for a project that I I don't support in its current form.
And I agree that has been, you know, the questions that have been coming up in other committees. And one concern as well was that this resolution gives the appearance that we're supporting the project. And I think that is in the first couple of whereases, because Ulster County does, of course, support housing. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we could get it through this committee, but perhaps that may be a way to give other legislators a little more comfort as far as passing this. Because, again, it's not the most ideal location. I don't know much about the company. It does have a lawyer as one of the board members who's also, you know, part of this. We were trying to find it online. Anyway, so I don't know if we can remove a couple of those first whereases, if that would make it easier. You know, again, we can just move this forward and vote, and then we can bring it to the floor. I may not vote for it on the floor, but because we certainly don't want to give the impression that we're all gung-ho in supporting this project, but the resolution, absolutely. Legislator Nolan.
I think this resolution did not pass economic development, and so there would be the opportunity, I think Deputy Director Doyle from Planning is looking at rewording of some of the resolution. So upon reflection, we're not called upon to pass it from this committee in this form tonight.
So can we take no action and wait for the newer resolution to come? Okay.
So economic development postponed it.
Okay. I like that idea. That makes me a little more comfortable. Legislator Litz, Fabiano, or Stewart, do you have any thought on that?
Postpone
it.
Okay. Legislator Stewart?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear Legislator Fabiano.
He'd be okay with postponing it.
I would be okay with postponing it too, because even though I am hugely in favor of building all the housing we can, it sounds like this particular project has a host of rather serious issues. And rather than doing something that can be construed as supporting the project, I would rather take no action.
Okay, so we will take no action on this, Rick Tomshaw. Thank you. Let's see, resolution number 415,
mm-hmm.
Authorizing an easement across the lands owned by Ulster County associated with Ulster-Delaware Railroad Corridor of near mile 0.5.1, City of Kingston, to the Central Hudson Gas and Electric Company. Motion to open this up for discussion. Legislator Litz and seconded by Legislator Nolan. Thank you. It's my understanding that the infrastructure is already there. I had asked why aren't we charging Central Hudson for this piece of property, but it's there already. Other than that, I did not have any other questions. Does the committee have anything they'd like to ask? Okay. Hearing nothing, we'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Bye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. Resolution number 419, establishing capital project number 644, site-ready services for electrical vehicle charging stations. Motion for discussion. Legislator Nolan. Second. Legislator Fabiano. And we do have... I saw Director Rylance was on here for a bit. Is he still on, Deputy Kelly, or would you like to speak?
I see Dean is on still.
Hello.
Oh, thank you. There you are, right in the middle. Okay. Okay, so questions on this for the site-ready services. This is not for our UCAT infrastructure. So I was mistaken in that. I don't know if anybody else had that thought. This is for public? Yes?
Public and fleet, correct.
And this is at our remote locations, or are there other locations throughout the county?
This is going to be for locations throughout the county. It is a rates contract, so it's an open-ended contract to where we can utilize it as more sites come up.
Okay. Legislator Nolan, did you have a question?
Yes. No, I think this is a great investment by the county. I'm really happy to see it. And I would like to suggest a site out in Shandaken, actually the far end of the county. The Pine Hill Community Center is adjacent to the town of Shandaken's municipal parking lot. And I've spoken with the board members of the community center, and they would greatly welcome your considering them for the next installation going forward. These projects, as described here, seem ready to go, so I won't hold this up. You know, I'm happy to approve these. I thought it was five sites, and then just urge you to bring forward another group as quickly as we can. It's really a growing sector of the tourism economy, electric vehicle transportation, and so it does great stuff for the climate. It also gives us a little bit more reason to have visitors come to the Catskills and Ulster County than to go somewhere that has less good charging infrastructure. So thank you for bringing it forward, and happy to see it.
Legislator Stewart?
I was just going to chime in my support of this resolution. I think that electric vehicles are clearly, you know, the way of the future, and the way that we get that to happen is to build the infrastructure. So I'm all for building electric vehicle infrastructure in Ulster County, and I support the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so with that, I will call the vote on resolution 419. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 421, approving the execution of a contract for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county with J&J SAS Electric. Now, this is also part of 419. Do I hear a motion to open it for discussion?
Legislator Stewart had his hand up. Were you...
I don't think I'll see it down.
My apologies. I didn't take that down. Excuse me.
Okay, and it's seconded by Legislator Fabiano. It's my understanding, too, with this particular contract that other municipalities can use it as well, correct? Okay, that's good. I like them when they're written like that. Dean, did you have anything else to add?
No, I was going to say that is correct. All of our bids that we do are piggybackable by other municipalities, so they can on board and use it.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no other questions, we'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 422. This is supporting a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to apply, accept, and administer 5307 funds transferred from the Rural Transportation Assistance Program for operating assistance and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding. Okay, do you like a motion? Thank you, Legislator Nolan. Second, Legislator Litz. I did have a question which I had emailed out asking if this covered general operations or if it was for a particular project. The resolution itself had referenced, I had to pull it up, I apologize for that.
The third whereas says operating expenses?
Yeah, but there was another, anyway, this isn't working. If I could open it up for Lauren Johnson to just give me some description of this. Tonight's meeting, UCAT. Okay, it's for urbanized area grants covering operations. Is that generic? or does it cover something specific? Is this like our federal funding for the bus fares, or is it, you know, more detailed than that, I think is what my question was.
Our reimbursement that we get from feds regarding our operating. So it's a combination. If you look down on the resolution, you'll see a lot of buckets of money. That's a little bit behind and reallocating our dollars from prior years of 2021 and 2020. So this is just a big pool of money allowing us to then designate that money to pay for our operating expenses.
All right, I apologize, and I was reading too much into it. All right, any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay, our last resolution, 423, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $32,884, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with New York Communications Company. Motion for discussion?
Move it.
Second.
Second. Legislator Fabiano. Do we have any questions on this? Okay, seeing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Is wonderful. All right, so with that, we are going to move into the special transportation working. Oh, I'm sorry, Legislator Nolan.
But before we do that, I just wondered if we wanted to give Legislator Stewart an opportunity to record votes on the resolutions that we addressed before he came into the meeting. Maybe that he could just communicate that to Clerk Tom Cha.
Okay. And that would be Resolution 401, Legislator Stewart. That would be for the Community Wellness Hub. 402 was for the engineering for the Community Wellness Hub. 406 was confirming appointment to the electrical licensing. 407 was for the renovation of Elizabeth Manor. And 409 was for the engineering of the renovation.
So you guys did all of that in 5 minutes?
Yeah, I was
worried. Wow, that's impressive. You guys are really speedy. So how did, like, were all of those approved? Because I was going to ask about 401.
They were all approved with a vote of 4-0, except one, except two, I think, that had abstentions from Legislator Litz.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm. You could mark me down as yes on all of them too.
Okay. Did you want to ask your question on 401 since we have Deputy Kelly and Rob Parody here?
Well, yeah, I did have a couple of questions, and my apologies for, you know, being tardy and missing the opportunity to ask these questions earlier. let's see. It said that. The current plan does not incorporate renewable energy because they're going to be using the existing heating and cooling system. This is in the Wellness Crisis Stabilization Center. That's correct? Okay, so.
That's correct.
And I assume that those systems are working properly and, I mean.
Yes, this is, the building was constructed in 1991. And all the systems have been either replaced or they're all in good working condition.
Because I was going to say, I mean, if, you know, those systems are at the end of their life, perhaps we could look into putting solar panels on top of the roof or, you know, those sort of, you know, more renewable green energy type considerations. But you're saying that's really not in the picture here?
Not today. Not right now.
Okay.
You know,
had whoever example, that was designed the jail, huh? It seems like their systems lasted a lot longer.
So the facility has an enormous parking lot. But that would, so using that as an example, there could be a situation next year where we install canopies, solar canopies, that would be a different capital project from this.
Yeah.
So that's just an example.
And I think that would be a great idea. So, yeah. Okay, so that was my question on that resolution. And I guess I had a similar question regarding Resolution 407, the Elizabeth Manor thing. Were solar panels considered there too, or? I know the structure is an older structure, and I'm not sure if you know the roof could support it, but I thought there might be opportunities to use solar panels elsewhere in that facility.
Sure. Well, this resolution just amends the capital, essentially to go to design, and those type of things would be incorporated in the design.
And so those are being considered then. Also, this is just out of curiosity, not that it has any great policy implications, but I noticed that the Bruderhoffs are working on this project. I was just curious, like, why? I mean, not that I have anything against the Bruderhoffs. It just struck me as unusual.
So I'd be happy to address that. Thank you, Chair Petit. So the Bruderhoff has actually quite often volunteers. They have very highly skilled carpenters and laborers. So from time to time, they'll volunteer and do things exactly like this. They did some at the Patriots House that we did for homeless veterans. The pavilion in New Paltz at the town park that we actually did our last budget speech in, I believe, that was built entirely by the Bruderhoff. So there, it's not uncommon, and it's actually quite helpful. They're not going to do the HVAC work, but they're certainly going to help with the demo and other
Well, I know from previous experience that, you know, they are, that group, you know, does have a lot of great carpenters, in the group. I worked on them on a project in Tilson at a public park, like 15 or 20 years ago. And they built an outdoor pavilion at that park in Tilson. So, I mean, I think it's great that we're using them for, you know, those sort of things. I just don't want them formulating our social policy. So, okay, thank you.
Chair, may I ask Legislator Stewart, while you're voting on all of the other ones, do you want to approve the minutes as well?
Oh, sure.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And thank you all for indulging me in my tardiness. So.
All right. So is there any old or new business before we move into our special transportation working group? Okay. So I am going to turn the floor over to Legislator Erner. Nettie, I'm on here looking, how do I approve other people to be host? I can stay until 7:30. I'm actually at my son's house and, you know, I promised I'd be off of the meeting by 7:30. If we could put Legislator Nolan and Legislator.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, can you do that? Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Okay, thank you, Legislator Erner. We're ready.
Okay. Oh, thanks, Chair Petito. Legislator Litz had his hand up.
Well, I was just going to ask the question, is this actually part of our meeting or is this a working group that is above and beyond the DPW committee?
This is part of our public works committee because some of the other working groups are a little difficult if they're meeting outside of a committee. If more than three or four legislators attend who are on that committee already, somebody has to leave the meeting. Or if for some reason you would have a quorum of, I guess it would be 12. So this is how we have decided to do it. It's not counted as an absence. It is included in the minutes, especially on the audio. And it's very open for public inclusion. We want to hear what everyone has to say. So It's a gray area. I'm sorry I can't be more clear on that.
No, that's okay. It's just that I have another commitment in probably about 8 or 10 minutes, so I can only stay for a little while.
Okay.
And I didn't want to be counted as absent.
And Clerk Tomshaw had asked if we have, let's see, so we when I leave, we'll have to close the meeting.
Well, I just need two legislators. I need two legislators before.
All right. Nolan, will you be on? Legislator Stewart, are you going to be on till?
I can stay on.
Okay.
Committee members.
As long as we don't have an agenda to carry us late into the night. I have to travel this evening after this meeting. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
But I'm happy to have this conversation.
I think Legislator Erner is shooting for another hour, right? I think. Your email
yeah, I did budget just an hour for the discussion. Also, to your question, Legislator Litz, Clerk Fabella and I, she actually brought to my attention her preference that this is, she says this is a good way to do this sort of thing. It actually, we're doing it under, basically under this today, old business. Last time, I guess it was new business. But, and as you said, Clerk Tomshaw, that as long as two committee members are here, you can adjourn the meeting at the end without a quorum. And since we're not actually considering any resolutions at this point, that also works out.
And we won't be passing resolutions. We'll be discussing and formulating and coming up with ideas and policies, but we won't be taking any action in this part of our Public Works Committee. That will be done, you know, at a separate time. Thank you.
Okay.
You're on, myself.
And so with that, thank you so much, Chair Petit. Thank you to the whole committee for having this discussion here. I wanted to begin with just introducing everybody who's here and spend 5 minutes doing that. And I guess what you can just say who your name and what part of the county you're in and what your interest is in this discussion. And I can start out. I'm Phil Erner, the legislator for District 6, part of the city of Kingston. I've been doing transit advocacy in Ulster County for about 3.5 years, and very interested in things like expanding public transit, as you heard earlier, equitable transportation, decarbonizing, and types of things like that. And next person I see on my list is Legislator Litz.
Hello. Did you call me, Phil?
Oh, yes, please, Herb.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Herb Litz, District 9, which is the lower part of the county. I'm always interested in all related transportation issues. So I'll be tagging along until I have to leave. Thanks.
Thank you. Next, I see UCAT Director Johnson, please.
Good evening. As you said, Director of UCAT, Lauren Johnson here.
Thank you. Next, I see Legislator Nolan.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Kathy Nolan and represent the four towns west of Woodstock out towards the Delaware County border in Ulster County. I've been a proponent of non-motorized and public transit in Ulster County for about 20 years.
Thank you. And the previous person, feel free to call on the next person you see who hasn't gone. And I'll do this one. Legislator Stewart.
Hi, I'm Eric Stewart. I represent District 18, which is portions of Marbletown and portions of Hurley.
And Eric, can you call on the next person, please?
Sure. Next on my screen is Japheth Wood.
Hi, everyone. My name is Japheth Wood. I live in Kingston with my family. I'm a math professor at Bard College. And until I moved to Kingston about 16 years ago, I was a big advocate of public transportation. But I haven't figured out how to get across to Bard College on a bus, except going down through Poughkeepsie and back up. So what I'd really love to see is a bus running across the Kingston-Rhinecliff Bridge. And I'd also like to teach my kids about public transportation here in Kingston. Thanks. And someone else I see Pixel 3AXL. That's a catchy name.
Oh, that's me.
Who's that? Pixel 3AXL.
That is me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
My name's Mark Shepperton. And I live in the town of Ulster.
Thank you, Mark. Do you want to pick the next person to go?
Legislator Erner, there's Andrew Wilner left and Cheryl Schneider.
Okay, please, Andrew.
There's also some phone numbers,
Chelsea Villaba.
Should I go?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, I'm Andrew Wilner. I'm the executive director of an organization called the Center for Post-Carbon Logistics. And Phil Erner asked me to come and talk about my comments to the Climate Council scoping. And it was directed at the transportation sector. I live in Rosendale.
Thank you, Andrew. Okay, I'll just call Chelsea, please.
Good evening. My name is Chelsea Villalba. I am a legislative employee. And I live in Kingston, and I will call Cheryl.
Hi, good evening. My name is Cheryl Schneider, and I live in Bloomington in the town of Rosendale. I've experienced public transportation and used massive public transportation in other cities, and I would love to see more, especially with all these county roads. Let's run some 15-passenger, vans up and down those roads. Anyway, I'm excited about decarbonization and greening our infrastructure and building equity into our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Legislator Petit.
Thank you. I'm Laura Petit. I'm the legislator in District 8 for the town of Esopus, and I am interested in, as Legislator Erner said, making our transportation system more equitable, making sure that it reaches all of these vast corners of our county so it can be used. It's a good system. It can always be better. And I will call on a phone number, 917-470-2303.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Great, this is Michael Kudransky. I'm a resident of Kingston, and I'm interested in clean, equitable transport in the county and connections to destinations within and adjacent to the county.
Thank you. And I believe finally we have 917-533-3208.
Hi, Tanya Garment. I live in the city of Kingston. I grew up using public transportation. I agree with, I'm so thankful to so many of the points that people have made. Another point is, this goes along with the equity, I think, but our teens shouldn't be required to drive. Their brains are still developing. And we're basically putting them in a position where, we have a system where, there's centralized schools and large destination parks and such. we're working all the time on more and more neighborhood amenities. But even if we did have more of a sort of a singular downtown where they could wander around, we still don't want to just trap them in a neighborhood, and they won't stand for it. But they'll go out and get their license and drive before they gain some of the maturity that one needs to be able to handle that tonnage of a possible killing machine. And so I really think we need to take more cars off the road for our environment, but also for safer roads. And so I'm really glad that this is a conversation for these and many other reasons. Thanks a lot.
Okay. So I would like to turn it over now. I had scheduled two presentations, but Legislator Nolan might not have known that Zier's was one of them, and I'm sorry about that. But
what are you asking Zerf to do?
You can do this.
Well, I'd love to hear. At the end of the last meeting, you had said you could talk about trails, but I recognize we haven't prepared you to do that. So if you'd like to take up to 10 minutes to do that this time, that's great. If not, we could do that another time, or you can take less than that. And then the other presentation is from Mr. Wilner.
Great. Do you want me to go first, or would you like Mr. Wilner to go first?
How about guests first?
Fine.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me to this meeting. Thank you, Legislator Berner, for inviting me. I had supplied, I believe, the committee or certainly the county executive with my comments on the Climate Council's scope of work. My comments were particularly focused on transportation. I was actually thrilled to hear the discussion and the legislation that was discussed and passed about free transit. That was one of my comments to the council, and I didn't think anybody was listening, so that's a nice bonus. My comments have to do with the fact that, unfortunately, the transportation sector of the climate action plan is the weakest of all the sections. My interest is in maritime transportation, low and no carbon maritime transportation in particular, but it goes to almost all types of no low carbon transportation in preparation for and in anticipation of high petroleum costs and low availability of petroleum products and for transportation purposes. I think everybody understands that 30% of the carbon produced in New York State comes from the transportation sector, and that doesn't include some ancillary transportation methods. So what I did is I broke down my comments into several categories and recommendations. And I know I don't have a very long time, so what I'll do is I'll go through them. And if anybody would like me to elaborate on any of them, I will do so. The summary of recommendation focuses on opportunities, adaptations, and mitigation in the transportation sector and on solutions that use and enhance New York's entrepreneurial, commercial and industrial enterprises, makers, processors, local resources and training, and employing New Yorkers in a carbon-constrained future. Recommendation one, and takes up the most of my comments, is decarbonizing maritime transportation. And the first line in that in the summary is, moving goods and people from place to place in a carbon-constrained future will be dependent on sailing vessels, hybrid, fossil-free, electric ships, and people electric-powered transport for first and last mile logistics. And I can go into more detail on that if you like. Recommendation two is converting internal combustion engine vehicles to EVs and zero emission vehicles. So there's a little disagreement that electric vehicles are the future of the automobile and light truck industry. because over the lifetime, a zero emission vehicle carbon footprint is significantly less than internal combustion vehicle. One huge problem, though, that's giving short shrifts in the scope of work is what happens to all those internal combustion engine vehicles get traded in. And there's nothing in the plan that says what will happen to those vehicles. Traditionally, they get wholesaled from a dealer if you trade it in, or they get sold on as used cars, or they get shipped out of state or even out of the country to third world countries. So that means that internal combustion engine cars, even if they're replaced by electric vehicles, can run for tens of thousands of miles more and continue to pollute. And as they get older, they pollute more and emit more carbon. So one of the solutions is to build an industry of converting gasoline and diesel powered vehicles to electric vehicles. And I can go into more detail if you wish. My third recommendation was improved and free transit. And I just said that Tallinn, Estonia made international headlines when it became the first capital city in the world to introduce free public transport for its residents in 2013. And my favorite one is island transit in Washington State and Puget Sound, where literally as tourists, we got off a free ferry, got on a free bus, went to our hotel. And then my wife was teaching, and I spent the rest of the time on the island going from place to place for free. I even watched a driver take an elderly woman to her home and help her unload her groceries into her house. It was the most extraordinary transit service I've ever been on. The recommendation four is for demand responsive transportation. When it comes to improving public transportation in rural areas, flexibility is key. The first step is to provide an easy and efficient way for more people to access public transportation. On-demand public transportation, also known as demand-responsive transportation, provides a way to increase the geographical coverage of traditional public transit service. Recommendation five, electrification of commuter, interstate, and municipal buses. Close to 90% of commuter inter and interstate buses are diesel powered. Some municipalities are transitioning to hybrid electric buses, but the plan, meaning the climate plan, should include regulation, incentives, and subsidies for the conversion of these diesel powered buses. I noticed that during the discussion about the free transit that there was some concern about the cost of electric buses. Based on my research, the lifetime cost of buying a brand new electric bus as opposed to buying a diesel bus is significantly less. So diesel buses are actually less expensive. I mean, electric buses are actually less expensive over their lifetime than diesel buses.
Which is good news because we just bought three. So
okay. Recommendation six, electrification and solarization of freight and passenger trains. So even though trains are the most efficient, sustainable form of transport worldwide, around 75% of trains have been electrified, while 25% still use fossil fuels. The bad news is that even electric locomotives use a partially polluting mix. That means they get their electricity from a polluting source, or they use a diesel-electric combination. Recommendation seven, improve bicycle and e-bike transportation opportunities. And then, although electric bicycles didn't receive much attention during COP26, 2021 was the year they found a more welcoming home around the world. An estimated global e-bike sales of 36.5 billion for the year compounded annual growth rate of more than 12% of 2020. Within 3 years, revenue could reach $53.3 billion. I'd like to see not just more electric bicycles and electric bicycle paths made for commuters and other non-recreational users, but also to start building both electric bikes and the motors and batteries for them in New York State. And then the last recommendation is airships and electric aircraft. Airships are relatively expensive. They carry a substantial amount of cargo. They're significantly more environmental friendly than the heavier than air relatives. Once thought to have passed into memory, airships are having something of a renaissance. So airships are what we used to call blimps or dirigibles, and they're now being used for heavy lift instead of helicopters. They're being used in Europe for short-range passenger and freight transportation. And one example that I thought was pretty extraordinary is that an airship that travels about 225 miles an hour and costs about the third of the cost of a traditional jet aircraft can go from Buffalo to New York City in about the same times it would take somebody to go from the center of the city to the airport, wait for a plane, get on the plane, take the 45-minute plane ride, get to the airport, go to, and take a cab or some other way of getting downtown, whereas the airship can go from downtown to downtown in about the same amount of time. The other interesting thing is electric airplanes are now becoming useful in the 500 miles and less routes because they are, again, less expensive, certainly extraordinarily less polluting, and that's a niche market where fossil fuel powered planes don't make as much sense. If you have any questions about that, any of those things, I'll be happy to answer them. And I made this in these entire comments available to Legislator Ernst. And so if anybody's interested, he can distribute, or if you contact me, I can send you those entire comments. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Welcome. Thank you so much. We have spent the 10 minutes that I had allocated for this portion, but would folks like to continue in order to ask questions? Any questions? Otherwise, we can follow up with you. I believe we've got your email now, so that's shared among us all. And in case folks don't have your report, we can share that as well.
Thank you.
Following up on what Mr. Milner said, I know that there is a solar powered ship that you can catch at the Maritime Museum in Kingston that will take you up and down the Hudson. I believe it's called the Solaris. I think that would be, I think that kind of stuff is awesome. And I think members of the Environment Committee and maybe this one as well, since we deal with transportation, might want to look into perhaps taking one of those cruises. A thought.
Thank you. The Solaris was built at the museum and is run by the museum for purposes of education. It is an entirely solar battery electric vessel. It does not plug into the shore. It makes more energy than it uses just from the solar panels on the roof and the battery storage that it has on board. The other ship that is operating in the Hudson River right now carrying freight is the schooner Apollonia, and that is carrying primarily grains and malted barley, but also some processed farm goods and fresh vegetables to be processed from Troy, Albany area down to New York City and stopping at various ports along the way. So that's a sail-powered cargo vessel.
Wow. Very cool.
Thank you again.
Other questions? All right. So let's move on to Legislator Nolan. If you'd like to tell us about trails.
Sure. The things that will most orient us, I guess, are that the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee was formed back in, I think, 2007 or 8. It's an advisory committee to the Ulster County Legislature and has representatives from differing user groups of trails in Ulster County, as well as we attempt to get geographic dispersion as well, and has non-voting membership of Ulster County Planning and New York State DOT, and now a liaison with Ulster County's Traffic Safety Board. That group is a forum for people to bring reports about how rail trails or other trails in their communities are progressing, are being used, and what they need, and to look at opportunities for different types of trails. We've added We've had membership from the horse riding community going back to the beginning, but it's been somewhat intermittent. And one of their requests was that we help them find out where trails that would accept horses are available in Ulster County. That group published a report called the Ulster County State of the Trails Report about a little over a year ago, and that I recommend highly for really a little over 20 pages summary with great photographs of the trails in Ulster County and the plans for further trails. The reason that Ulster County has moved forward with pursuing trails over the past couple of decades is their benefits for non-motorized transportation, for recreation, for health, and economic vitality. We do have a large tourism economy in Ulster County, and the trail network has become an enhancing feature of that. And really came to the fore during the first 2 years of the pandemic, providing a place for safe outdoor recreation and potentially for transportation. There's the State of the Trails report. I should probably drop a link to that in the chat, or perhaps
I can work on that.
We can send it around with the minutes. The Ulster County has an historic county with a lot of historic towns and cities, does have a fairly well-developed train corridor network from the 1980s and into the 1990s. The only railroads that are continuing to run as transportation railroads are Amtrak and Metro North running into the county or up to the county or through the county. And those corridors, one of which is also a canalway down in Stone Ridge in that area, provide an opportunity to preserve that history, but provide for public access and use of those corridors for transportation and all those other purposes. So that's been our intent. There are very good research to document all those benefits. If people are interested in any particular area, I can try to find specifics for you. And there's also very good research to document that the longer trails are and the more interconnected they are, the more likely they are to draw visitors from far away. Visitors that come from the counties do spend money and so generate some economic activity and they improve their health, which has some economic benefits for the county. But it's travelers from further distances and the farthest distances that bring the most economic activity because they stay overnight. And so that is an expense there. And then they have activities around their stay. There's a couple of areas of Ulster County that are less well developed, didn't have an easy rail corridor to bring in and consider for conversion to trail, and that's down the Hudson Valley, down towards Esopus from Port Ewing, and up into Saugerties. There are trails in those areas on DEC lands, public lands, or DEP lands. And we do count those as trails in terms of people's use, but they're not considered part of the interconnected rail trail network because you need to have certain physical strength and equipment to use them, whereas the rail trails are smooth and flat and can be used by people of all different abilities and ages. So I think we have some work to do in terms of looking at how to find ways to bring some of those parts of the county that aren't yet on a corridor into the county's network. And recently we have seen nonprofit organizations, Open Space Institute, OSI in particular, starting to look at the inter-county connections. The O&W rail trail in Ulster County is nearing completion. It has a few segments that are still gaps, but that can connect in Ellenville into Wurtsboro in Sullivan County, and also can connect into Orange County. And the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail also has some potential extensions. The Hudson Valley Rail Trail goes across the walkway to the Hudson over into Delaware County. Over into Dutchess County. And the Ulster and Delaware corridor, as its name implies, continues in Delaware County, where there's a 26-mile rail trail that's further out west, but potentially could be connected in to Ulster County, either for trail activities or in some cases, railroad activities when there's funding and other resources to support that. So that's a nutshell. I didn't time myself, but I think it's under 10 minutes.
Yes, thank you. I think we have at least 2 minutes for questions on the 10-minute timeline, if anybody has any.
I guess I didn't mention, and for this group, I would, and then I can take Andrew Wilner's question, that we also envision for the trail corridors that they would be part of an intermodal transportation system. And we have back many years ago reached out to UCAT to try to get shuttles from UCAT running to some of the popular trail sites. I believe they do stop at the Catskill Visitor Center out in Mount Tremper. And there are plans to do more as UCAT has drivers and capacity to do that. One of the early consultants for Ulster County on this, back going back to 2005, was Jeff Olson from Alta Planning. And he's written a book called The Third Mode. And he's basically building on experiences in Europe where people ride bikes and get on public transit and go around, you know, multiple countries with very little barrier to their doing so. And so that's the vision. Low carbon, low cost transportation alternatives. I'm sorry to run over your question. Your hand was up.
Oh, no, I was just going to add, kind of continue with your point about intermodal transportation, how, you know, I think we need to view our trail network as, you know, basically green infrastructure that provides, not only recreation and a chance to get out into nature, but also, you know, can be viewed as transportation from getting from point A to point B on a bicycle or walking or, you know, roller skates or however one wants to do it. And then I was also just going to comment on two recent additions to our Great Trail Network. And you had mentioned the O&W earlier in Marbletown earlier this summer. They opened a connector trail that links the college, SUNY Ulster, with Main Street in Stone Ridge, which was a great thing, and thereby connects it to the O&W. So that's a great example of, you know, serving the needs of folks in town who need to get to college and folks from the college who need to get to Main Street. And, you know, it's a good thing all around. It's something that they've been working on for several years. So we were very happy about that. And also, I just wanted to give it a shout out to this linear park that opened, had its grand inauguration last Friday. And I know that several of us attended that event. Phil was there. Kathy was there. And wow, that was a very exciting thing. And it provided a link for people to go from their neighborhoods in Midtown to get to the grocery store at Hannaford. And, you know, that's an example of, you know, being actual green, you know, transportation, and also brings up issues of equality and, you know, food security. And I just think, you know, that just covered so many bases. I think, that everyone involved hit it out of the park with that particular project. So I was just going to add that. So thank you.
Thank you.
This is Michael on the phone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
On the topic of multimodal connections, I recently took the Z bus from Kingston to Onteara Lake and Trail, and it was really great and easy to get there. Getting back required crossing 28, which I was fairly able to run across that road to catch the bus back. But I think it's important as we talk about bus shelters that access around the shelters and around the bus stops is also equally important.
Thank you for that.
And if I could just chime in again, that is something that is very much on the radar of Melinda McKnight, who is the town supervisor of Hurley. And, that is something that we hope to address in the not too distant future.
We might need state DOT's help as well on a lot of our roads that currently have UCAP buses are New York State roads. Andrew Wilner had a question before.
Yes, it was a question about trails. One of the in my comments and in my work, more and more European cities are closing downtowns to truck traffic and are depending more and more on electric people-assisted trikes and bikes for transport. One of the things that has occurred to me is that on certain times and on certain trails, it would make enormous amount of sense to allow some of those larger cargo bikes to be delivering farm goods and other farm processed products from the farms or collection centers where vegetables and processed goods be, and using the trails to bring them to urban centers. So it's something that I know is difficult, but in Europe, I think it's astounding that trolleys run through parks, the trails serve bicycles, pedestrians, and rubber-tired trolleys, and people seem to think that that's just normal. So we seem to isolate our modes. As we develop these trails, maybe we should think about how to accommodate more variety of modes on those trails.
It's a really forward-looking comment, if I may, Legislator Erner. We're currently looking at and have discussed in several meetings of the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee, which meets usually the third Monday of the month, and currently we're meeting in person at the legislative chambers on the sixth floor of the county office building. And it's open to the public, so everybody's willing to come, welcome to come. We've been talking about how to handle electric bicycles on the trails. And recently I had an initial meeting to suggest that we develop a policy that would not be based on how the bicycle is powered, but on what activities it does. So we're concerned about bicycles, whether human powered or electric powered, going at high speeds on trails where there are small children. We allow dogs on many of the trails and horses on some. And so we do have to look at those issues of compatibility. I think that we are moving towards a consensus on that, and we'll have that policy established probably this year. I hope to introduce something. And then we can move on to the idea of larger equipment moving on the trail. I think in some instances it could make sense. Some trails could handle it as you're suggesting. And is there a demand for that? One of the things we've seen with the railroad company that's actually now a tourist train is that they are offering to provide certain services, but there's not enough use that is projected to justify the cost or the designation of that resource for that purpose. If these carts with larger wheels can integrate well with the other existing uses of the trail, then I think that would be an enormous benefit.
Cheryl Schneider.
I'm just curious to know if we allow people on scooters and people on wheelchairs on the trails, and if we're making sure as we're looking at different modes of transportation that we have accessibility to those folks, because getting out into fresh air is essential for all of us, and they don't have a lot of options that we have to walk on different kinds of turf. So I just want to make sure, as we're thinking about bicycles and e-bikes and all these other modes, that we include those on scooters and in wheelchairs. And that we also take a look at whether we have to isolate paratransit from the rest of the transit universe, or if there isn't some way to combine, you know, sending somebody to that part of town and picking up two different people, maybe one who has to go to childcare and one who has to, you know, be in a wheelchair to go to a doctor. I don't know. But I think we have to stop isolating people from the community just because they have a different need. I don't see why we can't look at how to accommodate more of us in the common space. Thanks so much.
So I can speak to the wheelchair accessibility, which would extend to scooters if the scooters are for accessibility. We have several major rail trails that are completely ADH, and there's a DOT accessibility standard that we meet as well on the Ashokan Rail Trail, I think the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail, many sections of the ONW Rail Trail, and that's been a real focus. One of the reasons that we can justify moving to putting trails in some of these corridors is that it provides that universal accessibility. We've had some conversations and discussions because ATV traffic, which some people would like to do, coming onto those trails would disrupt the use by people of everybody else, potentially. So we've been trying to write our accessibility in a way that anybody who needs to have a powered vehicle for their access can do it, but without opening those trails, which do require maintenance, and they require more maintenance if you have heavy vehicles on them. So we don't really want to invite ATV use, but for recreational use. And so it requires some attention as you're writing your policies as to what is allowed. But it's been a major focus of mine to provide that accessibility. And I've been on some of the rail trails with my non-hearing friends who are very grateful for them. It's much safer for everybody, but particularly they have appreciated that. And if you look in the State of the Trails report, you'll see some mention of the accessibility and photographs of people in wheelchairs and other assist devices on the trails.
Thank you. So we're at 20 minutes out of 10 for that part of the discussion, which is great. I'd like to propose we move on. So I emailed everyone that I knew about before this, in case you want to follow along, I can pop in the chat for anyone who has the authority to share with the rest of us the idea for the rest of the time, but we can definitely go off this, especially in order to keep to an hour. But I thought after we had those presentations to talk about the overall goals of this discussion that we're having. And if I might just pop to the 2-minute county legal authority section and point out, we can talk about what our goals are, and then we'll have to determine what a county can do under New York law, for example, and what we can't, and what we might need to, for example, ask the state to do, or what powers the towns, villages, and city have to do instead. But that shouldn't prevent us from imagining what could be and asking for that, and we just have to know whom to ask. So with that caveat, we could do this goal discussion, or we could move right into to policy areas. Does anyone have a strong feeling about one or the other? And by the way, the policy areas, as you see, I certainly don't believe we have time to have a discussion about all of them, but we could get into one or the other. I know many folks are here from different community groups and have different interests to be here. So does anyone want to jump in on any of this? I can just mention the reason that I put this goal sort of thing here. Many of us have mentioned equity as a goal in transportation policy. And that is to say, expanding access to transportation to those who lack it right now, or evening out transportation options might loosely be what that means. And as the representatives of the people in the government, that, in my view at least, has to be what we're always working toward.
Legislative Erner?
Yes, please.
I can't see the document you're referencing. Did you put something in the chat, or are you referencing back to an email that I should pull up? Or
it's an email that you should have, Legislator Nolan, but I'm going to also, I'll send it to you. And then if you don't mind sharing it, I'll just put in the chat for you, if you don't mind sharing it out to everyone, because I don't have the authority to do that.
No, you do, Phil. You're there. Oh, you're a co-host.
Oh, great. Oh, thank you, Clerk Tom Shaw, very
much.
You're
welcome. It took me a little bit, though.
Okay, there we go.
I didn't realize that you didn't. Sorry.
All right, so now everyone can see what the heck I was just talking about. And so one goal in policy, at least for me, and feel free to chime in with others and anybody else, is this idea of equity. And then decarbonizing also, with the imperative of we're facing a climate crisis that is existentially threatening all of us. And so we recognize that decarbonizing our society in general is necessary. And the way that we do that is something that we have some say over with our policy. And then I wanted to leave space for anyone here who's part of a community group with transportation interests to list what their goals are with that group, or any individual, what your goal might be in a discussion around transportation policy for Ulster County. If anyone has any thoughts,
This is Michael on the phone. I have some ideas related to decarbonization and greening of the network. So I'm not sure if Public Works oversees any road repavings, but looking into and making sure that future repavings have considered things like reflective payment and porous payment that can deal with stormwater runoff and is not necessarily coming from high petrol-based materials and is also not contributing to heat island effects. So that's one area that I think is worth exploring if it hasn't been discussed before. And the other is looking into travel demand management. So strategies like carpooling, which I think is a under-incentivized area where more people can gather in less vehicles, more informally than, you know, using the transit system.
Thank you very much for that, Michael. And I don't believe we've had a discussion yet about pavement.
No, but that's really interesting thing to bring up. So.
Yes, there are people who serve on the Public Works Committee or who are from the executive's office who are not present at this time, who are in charge of that. And we have been moving, but my experience with the Public Works Committee going back 6 years and actually more just as a member of the community, moving towards using equipment that takes the asphalt that's there and reuses it rather than creating new asphalt. So there have been some improvements, but I think it would be great to bring to the members of this working group innovative approaches that we can share with the public people in the Public Works Department for their consideration.
Well, and I know that some of the trails are paved with asphalt. At least they appear to be paved with asphalt, and Legislator Nolan knows more about this than I do, but I mean, maybe on the trails themselves are where we could, you know, perhaps pilot some of these alternative surfacing options.
We had to do that at the Ashokan Rail Trail because it's in next to the Ashokan Reservoir, which is New York City's drinking water supply. So that trail, which has a feeling as though it's asphalt in terms of its solidity,
right,
is actually pervious pavement. And it was a new interlocking system of rock that the engineers for the project really developed specifically for that site and is now being used on other trails that we're constructing in Ulster County. So we have been somewhat piloting those, and some of those engineers were interested potentially in making it a more formal piloting process. That could be very interesting if we could get funding to do that. Those trails are working well, they're holding up, and I think they're an advance on what some communities have.
That's great to hear. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay. This is great. So we have about, say, 10 minutes left on the hour. And I'd love for us at the end to have a plan for everyone interested in continuing to work with transportation policy in this situation here to take on some task or other that they want to do for next time. So to leave enough time for that, perhaps we can just spend 5 minutes. I know that there's a lot of folks here concerned specifically about our county bus system. So maybe we can jump right to that, spend a few minutes talking about that, and then we can decide who will do what for next time. Does that sound all right?
Yes, I have a question about what kind of policies that you're envisioning and who they would come from. Ulster County does have policies on Green Fleet and many of these topics that we're talking about. So part of our work, I think, should be to gather the existing policies and look at what we might like to review or where we need to fill in some gaps.
And one thing I mentioned at our earlier meeting that, you know, I certainly am interested and would like to follow up on would be, you know, pursuing the bus shelter issue. So that's something that I will definitely take on as a homework assignment before we meet again, and try to arrange a meeting perhaps with Deputy Executive Christopher Kelly and Director Johnson. Perhaps we can try to get something, you know, put together for a bus shelters meeting before next month.
This sounds great. I feel like we're doing what I'd hoped, and legislators Nolan and Stewart beginning it. So how about we go around and everyone else say what you could say what's on your mind and what you think might be as Legislator Nolan, you pointed out, we might not all be aware of what the current policy is, but what's on your folks' mind to try and accomplish with a policy. And I recognize that's a fairly broad thing to posit, but let's try it. Let's see how that works. Who wants to go next?
Can I go? This is Tanya Garment. I wanted to, I definitely am interested in the shelters and the signage and shelters or general shelter from the elements while waiting for the bus, and signage, which I was glad to see Chris Kelly. Did he mention something about that? Anyway, this nobody didn't. Anyway, so by the way, I'm really glad that these meetings are recorded, because this is a ton of information and it's hard to digest it all, but being able to go back and listen to the recordings when they're posted, and then even later to listen to the transcripts, is such a great resource. So if anybody doesn't know about that, that is available. I would like to be, I'm very interested in shelters. I'm really glad that that's being done. And I'm assuming that we would just contact Legislator Stewart if we wanted to be involved in that or had any thoughts. And in terms of intermodal transportation and also cross-county transportation, I think those are really important, that sort of connectivity. And there are a lot of things. There's, for instance, the Maritime Museum applied for a river access grant from the DEC for, it's called Riverlink, using the Solaris to go between the train station and the Hudson River Museum, and I think the Sojourner Truth State Park. And that was, I think, 2021 that they applied. I wonder where that's going. And I know that the bicyclists are having a bit of a hard time on the Kingston-Rhinecliff Bridge Trail, and so that's going across county. And I know that there's possibilities for other cross-county buses, maybe hopefully through UCAT. I do just want to make one, sorry, this did take a long time for me to say all that, but I want to make an important point. It does go back, and it's just what I've been thinking about today, is teens and riding, riding the public transportation system, or any transit really, not necessarily public. And the disadvantage that they're put under, we really need to make UCAT something that the teens can use, because, for instance, trailways, and I think, and I've heard today, I didn't research it yet, but I heard that Amtrak has a similar policy, but trailways, you have to, if you're riding the trailways, if you're under 17, if you're riding without an adult, you have to have an adult meet you on both sides, fill out paperwork ahead of time, and pay $5 extra each time. So we really have to cover a lot with the public system for, in terms of the transit end.
Yeah, we don't want that sort of red tape to have to go through. Yes. So.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tanya Garment. Who'd like to say next, Cheryl?
And I guess the other piece, people have all covered a lot of the things I wanted to say, is I know we have a chicken and the egg with we don't have enough riderships and it's hard to recruit drivers, but we need to figure out a way to extend the service to two shifts at least instead of the one shift service we have now. Because many people who would use the service can't figure out how to do their round trip and get back home if they go out on the bus, how they're going to be able to get places, do their interconnects, and get home because the bus is shut down so early. And I've heard this over and over and over again. Same thing with paratransit, that, you know, it's just like almost like a 9-to-5 service, and that's it. But disabled people live full lives or would like to. And so I would love to figure out a way to have to solve this chicken and the egg of, we don't have the drivers, we're not paying them enough, we don't have enough ridership to justify it. How do we like change the culture and get more demand, get people on the bus? I think we all need to get on the bus. I think we're getting into an economy in the universe where most people can't afford two cars in a household, for every single household. It's ridiculous to have vehicles sitting in driveways or on the street all the time. So how are we going to change that culture and make transportation something we just do so everyone can just get around? You know, amen. Thank you.
Andrew Wilner.
Yeah, thanks. I just have one more thing. In trying to interest the Mid-Hudson Transportation Management Area in waterborne transit, it was very difficult to get their attention on this matter. And when I explained that in order to get federal funding for improving low-carbon waterborne transportation on the Hudson River, and they really had no information and no ability to act on it. And it's required that a metropolitan transportation planning area or transportation council actually be the applicant for designation for any maritime administration grants. So it's I can go into more detail offline if somebody wants to talk about that, but it was a frustrating process to speak with the only agency that could ask the Maritime Administration for designation and have them not understand the process. That's all. Thank you.
Please, Mark.
I just want to say quickly, this is Tanya, that if anybody did want to speak and they were muted, because sometimes it gets muted everybody when there's like some background noise, they should press star 6.
Thank you, Tanya. Mark Shepton was next.
Oh, Mark, you're muted.
How's that? Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, kind of like the Verizon commercial. Professor at Bard, who brought up the idea of a UCAT bus going across the Kingston-Rycliffe Bridge, I thought that was an excellent idea. The bus might be able to go to like Rhinebeck, Red Hook, and Bard. I know I have some doctors across the by the Northern Dutchess Hospital. It was difficult to get to over there. First I was told even paratransit doesn't go there, and then I was told, well, yeah, they do once a week, because it's sort of ambiguous. So anyway, that's a good idea. With regard to the shelters that I've encountered are like this clear plastic type of roof, and they're surrounded by like glass or translucent material. And, you know, in this type of weather that we've been experiencing this summer, and then you sit down on the bench in one of these shelters and the ambient temperature is 85 or 90 degrees. And if you want to sit on the bench, it's about 120 degrees because you have the green. It's like sitting in a closed car. Yeah. So I would say maybe the roof should be constructed with other than a clear plastic type of roof, because it's impossible to sit in. You really need to sit in the shade, especially if you're sitting, you know, 20 minutes or 25 minutes waiting for a bus.
Yeah.
And just the last thing I would like to bring up is the scheduling, the routing. I mean, I don't live in, you know, way out in the, you know, deep in the woods. I live, you know, right off Ulster Avenue. And just for me to be able to get to like New Paltz and then return at the end of the day, it was like a big back and forth and emails, and just to be, you know, and I have to get like special buses. It just shouldn't be like that. And the last thing I would like to bring up, and maybe the legislators should like actually, you know, ride the buses, sit it to Hanaford. I mean, it's sometimes I personally cannot sit at the Hanaford. Everybody, it seems that everybody waiting for the bus is smoking a cigarette, even though it's against the law. even though it's signs up, it's not enforced. It's like 80% of the ridership waiting for the buses at the Hanaford are smoking cigarettes. I have to wait over by the Senate House just to get off of one bus and transfer to another. It makes it very uncomfortable. That may be a reason, one of the reasons why, you know, the people that are more affluent people that may have cars and may have the choice whether to drive or take the bus, they're opting for their cars 10 out of 10 times because they don't want to deal with like sitting at the Hanaford. Maybe there should be, you know, a separate, you know, central depot for the UCAT buses. Maybe with even like a security guard there, with even like, you know, if you see other municipalities or, you know, in other states, they have like a central depot where all the buses come in. You could change from one bus to another. Even if you have to wait a half an hour, you're waiting in a safe, clean, pleasant location because it's not pleasant to sit at the side of the Hanaford. Yeah.
Mark, thank you very much. And I think you bring up a lot of important points, some of which are directly have to do with what UCAT can do. Others have to do with things like the State Bridge Authority or State DOT or private entities like Kingston Plaza that we work with. And there's maybe even individual businesses in the plaza. So there's a lot going on here, a lot to unpack. But I feel like as we are the public, we are the people, we can figure it all out. And you've laid some things on the table. So thank you for that. We're at about the hour mark. Does anyone else, I guess what we, if anyone's mentioned something about that has to do with possibly creating a policy, this is an invitation for you to take on some research on what the existing policy might be, if any, on that, and then move along. I know we haven't heard much from you, Director Johnson, and with your task to enact the policies of the county. That's a big task with respect to public transit. But if you had any, do you have any reflection on what's been said? Others certainly I would invite to have a final word too. I have one last thing to say as well.
No comments at this time.
Okay. I'd be interested to research the following. I'd like to see, besides what grants we, additional grants we might be able to get. That's a usual sort of function of county government, trying to get funds through grants. I'm curious what it would look like for the county to say for every public works transportation related project that, for example, was to repair or maintain a road, if we were to devote a certain percentage of the funding toward transportation on the road, like busing or any of the different types of transportation that people might use, what that might look like. It could look like funding for carpools. It could look like different intermodal things, trails, but just seeing whether that's a policy that we could, what that policy might look like. And I'm also going to take on the, just seeing what the full range of our power is in the county. That might not be something that can be directly answered, but it might be a policy by policy type thing that council has to look at, but I'm going to look into that too. And Legislator Stewart.
This isn't really a topic for discussion. It was just, I just wanted to say this before we adjourned for the evening. I just wanted to welcome Chelsea to her new position and also say, oh my goodness. She is a dynamo, this one, and she did great work at the Climate Smart Communities table, which we both served at for the Environment Committee. So that was awesome. So Chelsea, it was great getting to meet you, and thank you for all of your effort quite a showman, this one. And also to Nettie, because when is it that you actually are leaving us?
In the fall. This is my last meeting, though, for Public Works.
This is your last meeting for Public Works.
Chelsea is here.
Wow. So.
Wow, didn't know that.
So good luck and many thanks for your service. We appreciate it. Yes. So.
Yeah, it was my honor. Absolutely. My honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Nettie. And thank you, Legislator Stewart.
Oh, well, certainly.
So I want to thank folks for coming. I want to apologize if it was a little bit disorganized. I admit I felt disorganized, but I hope that folks will remain in touch via email if they so choose. And I believe that the next one of these discussions is supposed to be tacked on to the end of next month's Public Works. That's the usual way I see this. I see we've had a couple discussions so far about where people are at with various things. And of course, the goal being ultimately that we create policies to help people. So let's keep that in mind as we press forward. Any closing thoughts?
And just thanks again to all the folks who are joining us as guests. We certainly appreciate your input, and we'd love to hear more from you. So,
thank you for the opportunity to participate.
All right. Excellent. Well, which of the committee members wants to adjourn?
I'm so moved.
I think... Do we have to move? We do. Okay, second.
Second.
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Please leave.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Thank you all. And Bill, thank you, sir.
Thank you, everybody.